Welcome to an all-new episode of one of the most real podcasts on the internet. Whether it's talking about controversial subjects, to thought-provoking topics, or amazing guest interviews, this is a life podcast. It's time to sit back, relax, and listen to the Cody Springer Show.
What's good, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to the Cody Springer Show. I hope everyone's doing good today. We have episode number 116 here on the podcast, and today is August 3rd, 2021, and I hope everyone's doing good today. Hope everyone's staying safe and healthy, and, you know, because the pandemic is still going on. So, you know, there's a whole lot of talk about COVID, you know, getting worse again, and, you know, the rapid infections of the Delta variant, and yeah, man, it's some bad shit. So I hope everyone's staying safe, you know, whether you're getting the vaccine or not, you know, I mean, that's your decision, you know, and hopefully people are staying safe out there and healthy, because it's getting pretty bad out there. But anyways, so we're here for an all-new episode of the podcast. I want to tell everyone first about the Days and Dream, about the company, my new company, Days and Dream. Talked a little bit about it on the podcast appearance I did for Noble Barca's podcast, Noble's Pod. You can listen to that on SoundCloud, Spotify, Anchor. And, you know, I talked a little bit about it because, as you guys know, I'm no longer a part of Family First Records. You know, that was a decision that was made last week, you know, or 2 weeks ago now, I should say. You know, I decided to leave the label and stuff, and, you know, and I decided to start up my own brand called Days and Dream. And it's a music label, a film production company, and it's also a clothing line. We launched a clothing line, and we have original design merch, original Days and Dream design merch, and then we have merchandise for Big Figure J. He decided to join the team at Days and Dream, and there's merchandise in there for him. And then we also have merchandise for the Mask Off podcast, which is hosted by Andre, who's, you know, a good friend of what we're doing and stuff like that. You know, he's got a shirt in there for the Mask Off podcast. And then we are going to have merchandise for Mac Montana, who, you know, who is doing his own thing, but we have a merch agreement where I'm going to be releasing merchandise for him. So yeah, so you guys better be on the lookout for that for sure. And yeah, man, we're just gonna keep doing our thing over there. Cold Game, you know, the film that I keep talking about, guys, which is now in post-production, by the way, and it'll be out before the fall. You know, we talked about a little bit about that on Noble's Pod. I can't give an exact release date, but I'm gonna say this right now: Cold Game will be out before the fall. I will say that it'll be out before fall. And then, yeah, so I can't wait for it to be released. And then I'm currently working on some new music, new spoken word music. So you guys want to be on the lookout for that as well. So stay tuned. Now let's get into the podcast. Today I'm going to be talking about the WWE. Yeah, World Wrestling Entertainment. There's been a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes as of late for WWE. You know, there's been a lot of talent that's been released over the last couple months, from April until now, really. You know, I'm going to talk about that, and I'm also going to talk about why I feel that the WWE is going mainstream. Yeah, I feel like the WWE is going mainstream, and yeah, so we're going to get into that all here on the podcast. So let's talk about the talent releases. You know, there's been quite a few talent that have actually been let go by WWE. And we're going to start with the cuts that happened in the month of April. I'm not going to get into every single talent that got released. You know, I'll mention their name, but, you know, I'm not going to talk about their release in depth. But let's start with the cuts in April. Wesley Blake, he was released. You know, he was a guy who, he was mainly in NXT. You know, he was a part of that stable with Jackson Ryker, and you know he just never really got anywhere really with the company, and then he was released. Not really much to say there, so we can kind of justify his release. And then Bo Dallas, you know, he was let go. As many wrestling fans know, Bo Dallas, he's the brother of Bray Wyatt. And Bo Dallas never really seemed to find his footing in WWE, man. I mean, he, you know, was mainly a part of, like, tag teams and, you know, just kind of like being like a henchman for a more established talent, you know. Like, the only time that Bo Dallas got a lot of TV time was when him and Curtis Axel were paired with The Miz. But, you know, when that thing ended, you know, he was absent from television for more than a year. And then, you know, he was let go in April. So, I mean, yeah, so Bo Dallas, you know, it probably was for the best that he got released. You know, we can justify that. Kalisto. Yeah, Kalisto was someone who could have, you know, been something. You know, I mean, he was a talented lucha wrestler. But, you know, he got fucked as well. You know, Kalisto got fucked and, you know, he was talented. And they just never seemed to know what to do with him, you know. I mean, he found a little bit of success. You know, he was a former United States champion. But, you know, he never went anywhere beyond that. And then, but, yeah, he was let go. Tucker Knight. Tucker, in my opinion, you know, the moment that they broke up him and Otis, you know, they were a tag team in NXT called Heavy Machinery, and then they got called up to the main roster, and then they broke up. And then after that, Tucker had no career in WWE, man. Like, after him and Otis split up, you know, Otis, you know, has found his role. You know, he's definitely locked down a roster spot for himself. But Tucker, man, yeah, he just did not recover from that. And something that happens a lot of times, you know. Two guys get together to be a tag team, and then they split up, and then one guy flounders, and the other one's successful. You know, it happens. And then Chelsea Green. Now, this one right here, I don't understand, man. You know, Chelsea Green, in my opinion, was someone that WWE slept on, for sure, man. You know, I mean, yeah, I mean, she never... Well, I mean, she did wrestle one match on SmackDown. I think it was like a Fatal 4-Way or some shit. It was to be the number one contender for the SmackDown Women's Championship. And then she broke her wrist in the match. And then, you know, she was kept on the sideline, you know. And then they released her, you know. And the funny thing about it is they signed her to a 3-year contract extension in November of 2020. And now released. It doesn't make sense, man. Like, Chelsea Green, you know, she pitched a lot of ideas. You know, she's done some interviews, you know, since she's been released. And, you know, she pitched a lot of ideas, you know, and a lot of those ideas were ignored, you know. And I don't quite understand that, you know, like, if a talent pitches ideas and they're pitching all these ideas and you just don't want to do any of them, Like that, it just, I think that just shows that they don't want to use her. You know, they just didn't like her for some reason. And, yeah, I mean, it led to her being let go. But Chelsea Green, you know, she's in Ring of Honor now, and she's back in Impact Wrestling with the Hot Mess character, you know, that she, you know, definitely, you know, established for herself. And then, you know, of course, she's doing stuff with her fiancé, soon-to-be husband, Matt Cardona, you know, a.k.a. Zack Ryder. So, yeah, man. I mean, Chelsea Green, she's definitely going to, you know, do more on the independents than she did in WWE. And then Mickie James, you know, she got let go. And then, of course, there was some controversy that happened after, she got released. You know, she was sent her belongings in a trash bag. You know, they called it trash bag gate. And, you know, it led to, Mark Carano getting fired. You know, the guy in talent relations who's a fucking dick. You know, but yeah, man, like, Mickie James, she was very outspoken about how she felt about everything. And, yeah, man, she just, been very outspoken on how she was treated. And I kind of feel like, you know, she's been definitely been pretty mistreated, you know, both times she's left the company, you know, backstage. But, you know, Mickie James has used that as motivation to do things outside of WWE. You know, she's in NWA, you know, she's, joined NWA along with her husband, Nick Aldis. And she's going to be an executive producer for an all-women's NWA event that's going to be coming up. And then she also made her return to Impact Wrestling. So, yeah, Mickie James is going to be doing stuff, you know, and she's not going to let her being let go by WWE stop her from doing shit. So, there you go. And then Billy Kay and Peyton Royce, the Iconics, you know, they were released. And, man, I don't quite understand this at all, you know. Peyton Royce, in my opinion, she could have been a real star, man. You know, she had the look, you know, she had talent, you know. I don't quite understand why she was let go, you know. But they let her go. And Billy Kay, you know, Billy Kay, you know, I wasn't really a big fan of hers, you know, but Billie Kay had TV time every week, man. You know, the whole, the resume gimmick, you know, after she split up from Peyton Royce, you know, like Billie Kay had TV time. She was on WrestleMania and they still let her go. Like that, I'm like, wow. Like that just, that was a head scratcher for sure. But, I expect that, that both of them will probably end up in like an Impact Wrestling or an all Elite Wrestling at some point, you know, like Peyton, her husband, Sean Spears, you know, he's in AEW. So, I mean, who knows? Who knows? And then, Samoa Joe. Yeah, this was definitely, one release that people weren't a fan of, you know, and I wasn't a fan of it either, because, you know, I think Samoa Joe's always been a badass, you know, in pro wrestling, and, you know, and Joe, I don't think he ever really got a shot on the main roster, man, to be a world champion, you know, because, I mean, the guy had some high-profile feuds, you know, with Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, AJ Styles, you know, like, Samoa Joe definitely, in my opinion, could have been something more, you know, but, you know, he was plagued with injuries, and I think he was, you know, plagued by backstage politics, and, you know, and, you know, and then he was an announcer there for a minute on Raw, because he was not medically cleared to wrestle, and then he was released in April, but, you know, Samoa Joe got rehired. You know, Samoa Joe was rehired, returned to NXT. Now Samoa Joe is going to be wrestling Karrion Kross at the next NXT TakeOver event. But yeah, I mean, because here's the thing. I mean, I'm going to get into this later on. You know, there's a big difference between WWE and NXT. Steve Cutler, yeah, he was a part of that that stable of Jackson Ryker, you know, and I think he's in Impact Wrestling now. Lars Sullivan. Lars Sullivan was a guy who, in my opinion, fucked himself over. You know, because there was a lot of shit surrounding Lars Sullivan, you know, because, you know, they were, you know, they had big plans for this guy. You know, he was supposed to be their next big monster heel. And then, you know, he would get on social media and, you know, he fucking just made himself unlikable, you know, made racist comments. You know, he was, you know, and porno at one point, which I don't really care about, you know, but it's something that people are going to have issues with. And, you know, there was just a lot of shit going on with Lars Sullivan, you know, outside of wrestling. And I think that might have cost him, you know, to be released. And then Andrade, you know, he was released back in March. And he's someone that they really dropped the ball on, dude. Andrade could have been a huge star for WWE. And this guy was an NXT champion, former United States champion. I mean, he could have been something special for sure, man. He could have been the next Rey Mysterio, man. He could have been the guy to retire Rey Mysterio. But no, you know, Andrade, man, they just let him flounder, and that's fucked, man. You know, because the guy's so fucking talented, he has great matches, and now he's with All Elite Wrestling. So, Jessamine Duke, she was let go back in May, and yeah, man, just a missed opportunity there too, man. Like, you know, because I think what the plan was, I think they brought Jessamine, Marina, Shafir, and Shayna Baszler, I think they brought them all in because of Ronda Rousey, because they wanted to do the four horsewomen of MMA versus the four horsewomen of WWE, that being Charlotte, Becky Lynch, Bayley, and Sasha Banks. You know, I think the plan was to do those two groups together, but it just never happened. And, well, now she's gone, you know. Santana Garrett. Santana Garrett, when she signed with WWE, you know, I was excited because Santana Garrett, you know, she was definitely one of the most, well-known independent talents as far as women went, you know. And when she got the call from WWE, I was excited to see what they could do with her, and they didn't do shit with her, you know. I mean, she was in the Royal Rumble and whatnot, but they just never used her, man. They just never, there was no vision for Santana Garrett whatsoever, and that's the problem with that they have with all the talent they bring in from NXT or elsewhere. Ruby Riott, they let her go in June. And, yeah, that was definitely a fuck-up, I will say, you know, because I think Ruby could have been a star if she would have been handled better, but they just didn't do it, man. You know, they had her in a tag team with Liv Morgan, but there was just no other advancement beyond that for Ruby. And then Lana, she was let go in June as well. I was never really high on Lana, you know. I just never really was, you know. I mean, she was a valet for Rusev at the start of her career, and then Rusev, you know, he left WWE. And then, you know, we had that whole storyline with, you know, with Lana marrying Bobby Lashley, and the, oh my God, that was just a hot fucking mess, man. And you know, I mean, and then Lana, she just kind of started wrestling at that point, you know. And Lana got better as time went along, but, you know, I don't think she was going to be up to par with a Charlotte or a Becky or Sasha Banks, you know. And that's no offense to her. That's just the way it is, you know. Buddy Murphy, man, he was let go in June, and Murphy was somebody who was super fucking talented, man. Like, this guy had great fucking matches and shit, and, you know, he was, I mean, he could fucking wrestle with the with some of the top names and have great matches, man. That's just how good Buddy Murphy was, man. Like, this guy put in the fucking work, and it was a shame that he was a part of the June releases as well. Next was Aleister Black. He was let go in June as well. Yeah, man, this was a guy that they fucked all the way up, man. You know, when he came in for NXT, you know, he fucking was great in NXT, you know, and that's another difference I'm going to get into. And yeah, man, Aleister Black was shaping up to be become a big star in WWE, but it just wasn't to be when he got to the main roster. You know, they just fucked him all the way up. And then, you know, they let him go in June. And then he would go back on the grind and stuff. And then, you know, he ended up in AEW as Malakai Black. So, yeah. And then Braun Strowman was let go in June as well. And this was a surprise, man. Because Braun Strowman was definitely one of the top stars, you know, in WWE, man. You know, I mean, Braun Strowman has established himself, and he's been a top guy for the last couple years, and which is why it was a surprise that they let him go when they did. And, you know, they were thinking that maybe it was because he was making $1 million a year, and, you know, they weren't willing to keep paying him that kind of money. So, you know, they let him go. And then, you know, then the next crop, this was late June, Ever-Rise, don't know much about those guys, Arya Divari, it was a cruiserweight guy, Tony Nese, same thing, Arturo Ruiz, Fandango, you know, that's, you know, Tyler Breeze and, Fandango, and then the Bollywood Boys, they got, you know, they were released, or the Singh Brothers, however you want to refer to them as. Marina Shafir, like I said before, you know, it was a missed opportunity, you know, bringing her and Jessamyn Duke in and not doing anything with them. August Gray, don't know much about him. I think he was a cruiserweight guy. Kurt Stallion. Killian Dane. Yeah, I mean, that was a guy who, you know, he was a bigger guy, and, you know, they didn't know what to do with him. And then Bray Wyatt was released a couple days ago. And that was shocking, to say the least, because they put so much investment into the Fiend character. And for them to let him go was just ass, you know? Like, how are you going to put so much investment into a character and then let the guy go? You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, they've fucked his character up, too. Six ways through Sunday, dude. They really have. And, yeah, like, he's just been treading water for a very long time, and it's unfortunate because, you know, the Fiend character grew on me after a while. But yeah, I mean, like, they just didn't seem to do justice by Bray Wyatt, you know? Like, he would take unnecessary losses, loss after loss after loss, and just fucked, man. Just fucked him all the way around. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know what the future is for a guy like Bray Wyatt. You know, maybe he'll go to AEW, maybe he'll go to Impact Wrestling, you know, or just, you know, go around the indies, you know. We'll just have to see what happens. All right, now let's get into my second point on this podcast, and that is my belief that the WWE is starting to go mainstream. And, you know, people might hear me say that and think negative, like, oh, wow, fuck wrestling. Well, no. See, here's the thing. The WWE, you know, like, yeah, it's not as great as it was back in the 90s, you know, like, or more specifically, the late 90s. You know, in the late 90s, you know, we had so much great shit happen. You know, we had Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, D-Generation X, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, you know, we had the Attitude Era. The Attitude Era was the greatest era in all professional wrestling, you know, like, the amount of star power that you had back then compared to now, it's night and day difference, you know, like I said, you had Austin, Rock, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, you know, you had Mick Foley, Undertaker, Kane, you know, like, those were the guys, man. Like, you would tune in to Monday Night Raw every single Monday, and you would see those guys, you know, and it was some entertaining shit, you know, it was some entertaining shit, you know, back then, you know, but wrestling never went into the mainstream, you know, wrestling was looked down upon, you know. They're like, oh, wrestling's fake, you know, like, you know, this is stupid, you know, this is like a soap opera, you know, and like people hated on wrestling. But now we're moving into an era where WWE and professional wrestling is becoming more accepted, you know, it's becoming more accepted and it's coming into the mainstream, you know, like, because, you know, a couple weeks ago, SmackDown, they had, the show run from two different places. You know, there was Cleveland, Ohio for the main show, and they had some matches at Rolling Loud in Miami, which is like a big music festival, you know, and that was a huge opportunity for WWE. And plus, you know, their talent has been on ESPN, Good Morning America. And now I kind of feel like WWE is pushing more and more to be into the mainstream, you know, with the move to Peacock and, you know, having the pay-per-views be featured on Peacock and everything like that, you know. And I think that was kind of the reason behind some of the releases of talent, you know, because WWE wants talent that's going to be more representative of the mainstream image they want to create, you know, and they're using people like Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks and Roman Reigns, and, you know, they're using those types of talent to push themselves into the mainstream. And you're going to be seeing WWE kind of present themselves still as an entertainment brand, but as a brand that should be taken seriously, you know, in terms of sports entertainment. And that's what the WWE is in a nutshell, is sports entertainment. It's still professional wrestling at the end of the day, even though Vince McMahon, you know, denies the fact that they are professional wrestling. You know, I can't stand when he says that shit. He's like, oh, we're not wrestling. You know, we're not professional wrestling. We're sports entertainment, pal. You know, I fucking, you know, he'll say that shit, and it drives me nuts, because I'm like, no. At the end of the day, at your core, it's still professional wrestling. You know, that's what it is in a nutshell. You know, it's not sports entertainment, you know. How you can't even say the word pro wrestling in front of Vince McMahon without, you know, getting a dirty ass look, like, oh, how dare you say it? Like, he thinks wrestling is a dirty word, you know. And I never quite understood that, you know. Like, I understand he wants the WWE to be taken more seriously as a wrestling or as a entertainment company, and I understand that, but still, you know, like, at the end of the day, it's still pro wrestling. Now let's go into the difference between NXT and WWE. Now, Triple H, you know, I mean, Triple H, you know, he's been very successful in, you know, in professional wrestling and in WWE. You know, he's a 14-time world heavyweight champion, married the boss's daughter, and, you know, he's moved his way up the corporate ladder, so to speak, over the last decade. However, you know, Triple H had a vision in mind. You know, a vision of where the future talent of the business is going to come from. You know, like a feeder system, you know, because, you know, he looked at, like, the NFL. And, you know, they have the rookies coming in from college, you know. They all go into the draft. And Triple H thought that they needed some kind of system in place for the future. And so there was the creation of NXT. This would be where the future wrestlers would go. And they would, you know, train and hone their skills and get better and get that experience in front of being a live crowd, you know. And NXT has been responsible for shaping the future of the WWE. That's why we've had you know, so many great talent come through, such as Seth Rollins, such as Roman Reigns, Charlotte Flair, Bayley, Sasha Banks, Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair, and the list goes on and on. You know, we've had so many NXT talent come through to the main roster. However, NXT has become so successful that NXT has kind of established its own entity, you know, and the product is a lot different. It's a lot different than what you are accustomed to seeing on Raw and SmackDown. NXT, you know, it kind of takes the WWE formula and it's just different, you know. It's not like, you know, the typical, you know, Monday Night Raw show, you know. NXT focuses more on the in-ring product, and instead of, you know, these wacky ass segments that we get every Monday and Friday, you know. Not saying that Raw and SmackDown are bad, but NXT, you know, they focus more on the in-ring competition. You know, and you see guys like Adam Cole and Tommaso Ciampa and Kyle O'Reilly. And, you know, I mean, you see those guys come in NXT and they have these great fucking matches. And it's some awesome ass shit that we're seeing, you know. And, you know, and that's what makes NXT different than Raw and SmackDown. And I kind of feel like there's two different visions in place here for the in-ring product. You know, there's Vince McMahon's vision of what WWE should be, and then there's Triple H's vision of what WWE could become with NXT. And I kind of feel like Vince McMahon, he's so set in this philosophy of larger than life characters, and, you know, because at this point, I don't think he really gives a fuck if someone's a world-class, you know, competitor. Like, they have to have entertainment value to them. They have to be entertaining, or Vince doesn't really give two shits about you. You know, I think that's what it is, and I think that Vince has become kind of frustrated with the talent, and I think that's why, you know, when he wants talent brought up from NXT, he wants characters. He doesn't want wrestlers, he wants characters. You have to have a great character for him to care about you, you know. And I think that's kind of sad, you know. I think Vince McMahon's vision of the business is outdated. It's tiresome. And I really think that, you know, I just don't think he has a firm grasp of what makes a superstar in 2021. Now, I'm not saying that everything in WWE is bad. I mean, the shit they've done with Roman Reigns is great. You know, they've completely reshaped his entire character And he's probably the best thing going in the business right now, you know. And what they did with Bobby Lashley, you know, Lashley has definitely revamped himself and he's become a bigger star than he's ever been. Drew McIntyre, you know, he's definitely coming to his own as a top guy, you know. Like, I mean, there are guys who are rising up, you know, and becoming great. Bianca Belair is another example, too, of a talent who, you know, has definitely become one of the centerpieces of the company. But I think it all fits into their mainstream image that they want to create. You know, I think the WWE is not so concerned about being a PG product. You know, they're starting to let some language fly and everything like that. You know, they're trying to get back into what pro wrestling should be, you know, and that's, you know, people who are, you know, who want to beat each other up, you know, just that aggression style of professional wrestling. You know, it's kind of like a mix of the Ruthless Aggression era, but it's still kind of watered down in a way, you know, where it's not too out of control like the Attitude Era was, you know. But yeah, I definitely think the WWE is trying to kind of go back to that Ruthless Aggression style of product, but it's watered down in a way where it's not like going to be like, you know, we're not going to see bikini contests or anything like that. You know, we're not going to see, you know, the women's wrestlers come out in their bra and panties every week. You know, that's not going to happen. But, you know, I mean, guys are getting in each other's faces and giving each other beat downs and shit, you know. Like, yeah, man. Like, I mean, hell, this past Monday night on Raw, you know, I watched Raw and, you know, Damian Priest referred to Miz and Morrison as jackasses and, you know, and everything like that. And then Lashley, a couple weeks ago, you know, before his match with Kofi Kingston at Money in the Bank, Lashley said, you know, like, the bullshit stops here. And yeah, he said bullshit. It wasn't censored out or anything, which I'm surprised. But, you know, that's the era we live in, you know, like, they're starting to let more swear words fly, you know, on television, you know, like ass, hell, damn, you know, shit, bastard, bitch, you know. They're practically letting all the words fly except for fuck. You know, fuck is off the table, you know, like no one's allowed to say the word fuck under any circumstances, you know, like it's just not, you know, allowed to be said, you know, like, oh, you cannot say the word fuck, but you can say ass, hell, damn, shit, and bitch, you know. But it all fits, you know, because hell, if you watch like a show like NCIS, you know, like they, you know, allow certain words to be said, you know, like, oh, like ass and son of a bitch and, you know, like bastard, you know, they allow those words to be said, you know, like I kind of feel like networks like CBS and NBC, you know, they allow certain language, you know, there's language barriers that they can, you know, have. And, you know, NBC, I know that they allow those words to be said too on certain programs, you know, but yeah, like WWE is starting to become more mainstream, you know, they're not worried about projecting a PG image, you know, I mean, yeah, they're still catering to the kids with some of their characters, you know, like what they're doing with Nikki A.S.H., you know, like she's a character for the kids and that's great, you know, but, you know, they're still, but what they're trying to do, you know, they're making these characters more badass and having them, you know, let them get away with more, you know. But yeah, I mean, that's what I feel that the WWE is becoming. You know, they're becoming mainstream, but I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. Because 10 years ago, I kind of felt like WWE was completely unwatchable, man. Because it was so watered down, it was boring. You know, they were trying to make it PG and shit, you know. But now they're starting to get away from it, man. You know, they're allowing some things to fly. You know, they're allowing, you know, certain things, you know, that previously weren't allowed. And I think it's cool. You know, I definitely think it's cool. But, yeah, that's going to wrap up the podcast for today, guys. And I will talk to you all again very soon. Peace.
Thank you for listening. We thank you for your support. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcasting platform. We are available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many more. Follow Cody on Instagram @TheCodySpringer. Have a great day, and we will talk to you again soon.